It's recording.
My name is Frances Abel, and I've lived in New Milford 62 years. I came in the early 50s after I was married, and my husband taught up at Canterbury School. So my memories are both of the town and the public school where I taught for many years, and of Canterbury School. My children one of my sons started at St. Francis School, but the other children started at Main Street, which had a kindergarten. No, there was no kindergarten. My children never went to kindergarten in New Milford. I had to send them to Peter Rabbit.
And where was Peter Rabbit?
Peter Rabbit was, it was on the street, it's not Treadwell. I don't know the name of the street, but it was down the hill from Canterbury.
Okay, kind of where the Children's Center is now, in that general area?
In that general area, but one street over.
Okay.
I don't know what the name of that street is.
I don't either. It's funny, I've lived here my entire
all
life.
All the way at the end was Peter Rabbit School, and my children went there.
Okay.
And then they started at Main Street. And then next they went to East Street, and they finished junior high at John Pettibone. And after that they went up to Canterbury. But that's what the schools were in those days. And the houses on the green were all houses. There were no businesses, except down south on Main Street, there was a supermarket where the post office was. I think it was called the First National. And the post office was where the recreation department is today. And also down on that street was a 5 and 10 cent store called Hart's. And there was a movie theater where the movie theater is today. And my children and my husband used to go for haircuts at either Frank near the bank or Joe near the show. And there also was a cosmetic store run by Myrtle Kelly. And I remember her name because she ended up working at the thrift shop when it opened. There was a bleachery in town, which employed a few New Milford people. And the only reason I mentioned that it was from the bleachery that Canterbury School got the pipes to make their first skating rink.
Really?
Yes, and the boys, they had the boys bring up the pipes from the bleachery through town. The ice skating rink was an outdoor rink where the where there's a parking lot today. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, they have an indoor hockey rink, but that was used for many, many years. And also another thing I remember was driving down Canterbury Hill, and it was so that it was kind of like a hump in the middle, and the sides went down a ditch on each side. So if the weather was bad, you had to be very careful that you didn't slide into one of those ditches.
Now, how was was there a lot of interaction between Canterbury School and New Milford at that point in time?
No. The headmaster then had the boys kept very much to themselves.
Was that still Hume?
That was Walter Sheehan.
Sheehan, okay. Okay.
Yes, Hume died before my husband and I came.
Okay.
And, I wanted to mention about St. Francis Church.
Mm-hmm.
When we came, St. Francis Church was on Elm Street. And when we started going there, they would sometimes have a Polish mass. It was, I guess at the time, there were a lot of Polish people in town, mm-hmm. and so there was a Polish mass every once in a while.
There's a Polish church in New Milford, right?
Yeah.
Actually, close to Canterbury-ish.
Yes, yeah. Down that hill.
Yeah.
But they did once in a great while. I think the priest that was there was a Polish priest, and I can't remember his name. And also wanted to mention that I had all my children in the New Milford Hospital. It was a much smaller hospital then. And in fact, I can't remember there being an emergency room. But my husband, when he came to Canterbury and one of the boys needed medical attention, they would take them down to Treadwell, which was kind of the first hospital. It was like somebody's home.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. And that's the story he tells. And another thing, when I first came here, New Milford was a very small town. I think it first started to grow when Kimberly Clark came.
Okay.
And they had one, I want to call him a police officer, but I'm not sure about his title. I think his name was Bruce Nearing. And he by himself was the detective and the policeman all rolled into one. And my husband was used to think very highly of this one gentleman that could keep the whole town in control. You know, also down on Bank Street, there was Golden's, which was a big men's store.
Mm-hmm.
And Barton's.
Right. Yeah, people have very fond memories of Barton's.
Yes, it was a lovely store owned by two brothers. And they were, you know, you could get good quality merchandise there. And I was always sorry when it left.
So you've talked about these things that sort of knit the community together, right? And how have you seen the community change besides size? I mean,
well, the community changed in a lot of ways. First of all, there's a lot more traffic.
Mm-hmm.
The traffic doesn't flow as well as I think it might, because we always had the bridge, though in my time they rebuilt that bridge, but coming off the bridge is still the same as it was many years ago.
Right, right. Did the original bridge get taken down in the flood of 55?
You know, I don't remember, but it was redone.
Right, right.
And I remember some of that flood of 55.
It was, how long had you been here when the flood of 55?
Well, just a few years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I taught at Hill and Plain School. But this was when Hill and Plain was built. And before it was built, I taught third grade at East Street School, and we were upstairs. I don't believe they allow children to climb those steps anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the cafeteria was in the basement. I think that's the education department now.
Yeah.
And before East Street was finished, we had classes in the Congregational Church Annex in the rooms that I guess are still in use.
Yeah.
And eventually when Hill and Plain opened, we moved there.
I asked, when I was talking with Sandy Brenner, we had talked about the school system, and I had asked her this question. I'm just curious what you'd say. Do you think it affected the community of the town at all, pulling the schools out of the center of town?
No, my personal opinion is that it didn't.
Okay.
I taught in the center of town in East Street, and I taught in Hill and Plain, which is, you know, certainly not the center of town.
Right.
And no.
Okay.
I didn't see any differences. It was actually, when I taught school, my room was the last room, well, in the building in the back, where you could just go out to the playground, and the door was open all the time. There was never any question of anybody ever coming in, and we never had any incidents of,
right,
of any problems in the school system. I hear that everything is very much changed today.
Very locked down.
And it's unfortunate, I think. I think it's it impacts the children in a different way, mm-hmm, than having a school system that's more free and easy. But
right,
of course, they have to make sure the children are safe.
Absolutely.
I don't know. Some of my memories are involved with Canterbury. But
that would be perfect. Nobody's talked about Canterbury. And I mean, I have a personal connection because I worked there for 2 years. So I'd love to hear, you talk about it.
Well, my husband first worked under Walter Sheehan, and he was a very old, an old headmaster in the sense that he was very much very moral, there were certain rules and regulations that one had to follow, and there would be dinner every night with the headmaster, and the headmaster would be at one table, and the masters would each have a table with boys sitting around.
Mm-hmm.
And the wives were encouraged to come up and eat, and I would go once in a while. But it was very hard to talk to the boys because they weren't particularly interested in talking to the masters' wives. So that was a chore. And also, another thing that we did that, of course, no longer happens is that the wives would pour after the boys had a soccer or a football game. They would have a tea, and the boys would have to go and change and get into schoolhouse dress and come down and have, well, it wasn't tea, it was hot chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And they would come down, and their opponents would come, and we would serve them hot chocolate. And that, the idea, I think, would be to be gracious about losing and be friendly and sociable, even if they were your competitors, so
right,
to speak. And of course, there was a very rigid dress code. And, you know, I remember my husband telling me that one of the boys approached Mr. Brody, who was one of the real old-time teachers, a wonderful gentleman, if he could, by any chance, wear brown shoes. And he was not allowed. No, he couldn't change. He had to wear black shoes to dinner and schoolhouse dress. He couldn't wear brown shoes.
Oh, my gosh.
So there are stories like that. They were very, and I remember when the girls were first admitted, that was a big thing. Even my husband was worried about that, but eventually he came to really enjoy the girls because they were very different kind of, and usually very good students.
Did they just have the girls come on because they needed to increase enrollment? Or?
I think they had the girls come on because I think it was the trend to, mm-hmm, start to accept girls, and I think Canterbury didn't want to be left behind. The headmaster expressed some reluctance about that,
mm-hmm,
but it came to pass, and it came to be a good thing for the school too.
Absolutely.
And of course, I think fundraising is helped enormously by having a mixed student body.
Absolutely, yeah. Now, the original main building was is now a dorm, correct? It's,
well,
because the building that is currently houses the library and the wasn't there when you first started there, right?
It was there, but I think they enlarged it.
Okay.
I think the schoolhouse was there, but they added on to it.
Okay.
And quite a few of the buildings have been, you know, fairly recently put up. Well, mm-hmm. not recently, in the last 15 years, 20
right.
years.
Right.
Yeah.
How do you think that Canterbury fits in sort of, so going back, there are organizations within towns that sort of, they're the glue that link people together, I suppose.
Yes.
It's what creates a sense of community.
Yes.
How do you think Canterbury fits into that?
Well, you know, I think...
If it does.
Canterbury, this is my personal opinion, enhances the town because it's a top school, because it encourages the children nowadays to do some volunteer work in the town, and I think that's always good.
Were there a number of New Milford students who went to Canterbury?
Yeah, there always have been some, very few, but of course in more recent years it's been more.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But there's always been a few.
Right.
Very few. Of course it's just too expensive.
Yeah, it's very pricey.
Yeah.
It's very, very pricey.
I think that's all I have to say.
Okay, that's fine. That's absolutely perfect. I appreciate you you talking to
and
me.
And I'm trying to think if there's anything else, but I wanted to say where my children went to school and some of the stores and the people in town. You know, I do remember when Pat Shea, who was a woman, ran for mayor, or first selectman, she didn't get in.
Mm-hmm. So was that a shock to everyone in town that a woman was...
Well, she was a very competent and smart lady, mm-hmm. and I felt very badly that she didn't get in.
Right. When was this?
Oh, gosh. That was way back.
Okay.
Way back.
When you think about the politics in town, do you feel like in the 90s, people generally, I had spoken with this, do you know Bill Quinnell?
Yeah.
Bill and I had talked about this.
About
the corruption in New Milford in the 90s. I mean, he doesn't actually think that it was really that bad, but
yeah.
there are a number of people who do. I mean, do you have any thoughts on that?
No, I don't really know enough about
it. Okay. Right.
About it to really comment and
yeah, no, that's fine.
Give say that it was corruption because I don't know enough
yeah.
about it.
Okay, I this is perfect, and I really appreciate it. I'm going to stop recording now.